You're listening to The Chain, a science podcast where we bring what is new in biologics and protein engineering to the community of scientists working in the field. We discuss the latest developments with leaders who are on the front lines of cutting-edge research. In this episode, we talk with a scientist who is interested in marine biology and found his way into biotechnology, eventually with a focus on protein purification, specifically tag-based purification that can help researchers save time and money. But as our guest explains, scientists should consider their specific bottlenecks and applications for the protein of interest to determine which tag, if any, is right for them. This is a conversation for young and seasoned scientists alike. Today, I'm speaking with Dennis Kartas. He's Director of Protein Products and Assays at IBA Life Sciences. He joins me today from Germany. Good to talk with you, Dennis.
Hello. Thank you very much for the invitation and for the possibility to share some ideas.
So first, the specific areas of your academic study going back were in biotechnology. Was there a moment that really solidified your interest in biology?
So actually, there was not a specific moment that solidified my interest. It was more an ongoing process. I have been interested in biology since I was a young boy. And like many children, I was very fascinated, of course, by animals. But I remember that I had a lot of big books about animals, and I forced my parents every time to read out all the informations about the animals, where they live, what they do. So I really consumed all this information, and I was quite happy that my parents always gave me this information. So over the years, I became more and more attracted to biology, and one of my great passions is diving. So very early on in my life, I decided to become a marine biologist. However, later than in school, during the last 2 or so years in school, there were topics like genetic part of the subject, and I really was fascinated by the idea or by the fact that all life on Earth was or is based on just 4 nucleotide bases, and that minor changes in this genetic code can completely change the phenotype of organisms. And I think that was an important point where I thought about becoming a biotechnologist and to work on ways how we can use bacteria and cells in order to produce things that we need in our life, in our medicine. And yeah, I never regret the decision to become biotechnologist. But then there was a moment in my career where I think that attracted me later to the work with tags, which we are doing at IBA. And this was at the end of my master's studies. And there was another master's student. He wrote his thesis in another institution, but we had the same way to the institutions because they were on the same campus. So we met each other quite often in the bus. And of course, we talked about the progress of our work. And at the beginning, he was very excited and motivated to the topic of his work, which was a characterization of a new protein. And the longer this thesis was going on and the more time he spent with his thesis, the more he became frustrated, because at the very end, he was not really able to produce and purify this protein. And he ended up with a thesis where he describes the purification of a protein. And he was successful with that in the end, but that was his master thesis. And originally, he wanted to do something completely different. And there I really realized that tag systems can really help researchers to simplify the process of protein purification, helping them to focus on the things they really want to do in their research and reducing the level of frustration, but also speeding up their scientific work. And I like the idea that with the tag technologies, we can contribute a little bit to science and scientific works.
So tag technologies clearly are a passion for you. And you're now directing the Department of Protein Production and Assays at IBA Life Sciences. So your journey from marine biology all the way to here. What projects excite you currently?
So one of the most exciting projects for me, of course, is my PhD thesis that I'm doing in cooperation with an institute. And I'm very lucky that my company offered me the opportunity to do this on my job. And in my PhD thesis, I'm working on a method to selecting stable, high-expressing cells in order to end up with a pool that highly express a recombinant protein. And the reason for doing this is that at IBA, we are not a big company, so I don't have the budget to buy all the cool instruments that you can use for clone selection, like clone picks or a FACS sorter. And on the other way, existing technologies like antibiotic selection have a lot of drawbacks, and I don't want to have those drawbacks. So I was wondering if there is a possibility to get highly expressing stable cells without the need of a selection drug that kills a lot of your cells, it stresses the cells, but that is easy to use and that is affordable, so that also smaller companies or institutes with lower budgets who don't want to afford the money for instruments can have a way to get highly expressing stable cells. And in my studies for biotechnology, mammalian cell cultivation and protein production was one focus. So coming from the tech side, it's a little bit going back to my roots. And that's a fascinating thing about this topic. And we figured out that compared to antibiotic selection, this method is quicker. The cells are not harmed by the procedure. Cell growth and viability is nearly unchanged after the selection process, and the expression rates are 3 to 4-fold higher compared to an antibiotic selection process. And of course, this is a very exciting project for me right now. Other important or exciting projects at IBA for me are cooperation projects. I like this projects because you get in contact with other scientists who are doing sometimes completely different things and giving you the opportunity to get insight into new fields of applications and technologies. And I think one trend that is very important in biotechnology is high throughput purification, automated production of proteins. And here we have a cooperation with IMCS in the US, and they offer filter tips where you can fill in, or where they fill in purification matrices. And the beads are trapped in a pipetting tip. And you can use a multi-channel pipetting device in order to aspirate, for example, your sample and bind your protein to the beads. And this allows you to do a high throughput purification in a completely automated way, with any kind of resin. And they tested our XT resin and it worked very well. And so now we're working together with them on procedures in order to enable people to do high throughput and automated protein purification using the Streptokin XT system. And the last project that is really cool is that we've developed a method in order to use our Streptokin XT technology in the BLI technology for the octet, another high throughput device, which can be used very well with high throughput purification. And again, working here on a field for instrumentation or in field of instrumentation was interesting for me because during my bachelor studies also, I had some classes in engineering. And so maybe I'm a little bit more attracted to technology and engineering than many other biologists. So working again with an instrument is something that's really interesting for me.
You need to play around with all the gadgets to...
Yes.
I love to hear about, you know, your work, you know, collaboration with companies and how your PhD research is making it easier for more companies to, like, you know, who don't have access to, say, the more expensive instruments. So that's really interesting. And I can't wait to follow up with you on your PhD research as it continues. How far along are you?
So all experiments are already done. So I'm writing everything out together, and the patent should be filed in 1 or 2 months. And I think then I can say a little bit more in detail how the technology is working. I was quite lucky for a PhD student. You can say that I had a team at IBA that really does great work. And this gives me the possibility to have the free time to work on the thesis as well. Otherwise, I would not be able to combine both the directing of the department and working on a PhD thesis. And it was a great chance to dive very deep into a specific topic of research, which you usually in a company maybe cannot do every time, because having a plan for 3 years, sometimes it's canceled once you see that a product might not be developable. And here, given the fact that it's a PhD thesis, gives me the possibility to really identify with this project and dive very deep into the topic.
That's awesome. What a great setup. So you mentioned the tag technologies, of course. So what are some of the latest tag technologies that you're working with?
So one technology that is interesting, I think, is a spy technology, because I've read a paper recently, and there the researchers combined the spy tag with the streptactin technology. And what they did is they created CHO cells that expressed the spy tag on the surface of the cells. And they also produced streptactin that was fused to the spy catcher molecule that binds to the spy tag. And by doing this, they were able to titrate the amount of streptactin spy catcher protein, which then covalently bound to the cells. And this makes it possible that the researchers decorate the cells with a specific adjustable amount of streptactin on the surface, and they were able to measure the amount of bound streptactin so they can quantify the amount of generic ligands on the cell surface. And what they do with the system is they used, for example, other cells like CHO cells or any kind of other cells, and let these cells express a receptor of interest. And this receptor is fused to a twin strap tag. And by combining the generic ligand cells presenting the titrated streptactin to the cells expressing the receptor with a twin strap tag, both cells bind to each other. And the binding of the twin strap tag to streptactin actually activates the receptor and induces the stimulation of the receptor in a comparable way to the native ligand. And that means that these researchers created a possibility to adjust receptor or ligand density and measure ligand density, and for example, can now investigate T cell research in a new way by seeing how different concentrations of ligands to a receptor can influence the response of a cell, which might be interesting for TCR research. And this was a great paper showing how you can combine new technologies to make something completely new and use it in a completely different way. And that was very fascinating. Another new technology is not based on a new tag, but how you can use tags to develop new technology was created by MapTech. It's a company in Sweden, and they created a fluoro spot assay in order to investigate the antibody secretion of memory B cells. And they developed a SARS-CoV-2 assay in order to investigate how B cells, for example, from convalescent patients, secrete antibodies. And what they did is they immobilized a capturing antibody on the surface of a well plate, and then they incubate B cells in the wells, and the B cells secrete antibodies that are captured by the capturing antibody. And after that, they added a receptor binding domain protein fused to the twin strap tag. And all B cells that secreted antibodies against this protein have antibodies in the well. And by this, they capture the receptor binding domain with the twin strap tag. And finally, then they added fluorescence conjugated streptactin XT, and that finally gives a signal in the well showing and making the B cell answer measurable to see which B cells or which sera contain memory B cells that secrete COVID-19 specific antibodies. And this was another great work and example of how you can use tags in other technology to create new technologies or ways of measuring, for example, in this case, B-cell antibody secretion.
I like how looking at using, coming at it from a different angle. So finding what the new technology as well as different applications, which is great to see. So you did talk about some other applications and a lot of, you work a lot in purification. And I think you mentioned this a little bit in your last answer, but are there applications beyond purification?
Yes, you can do a lot of things. That's what's make working with tags so interesting, because you have insights in so many different fields. And one example that shows us very well is a cooperation with a company which is called Nanotech in Germany, in Göttingen. Actually, they were founded by the same founder who founded IBA, Dr. Herbert Stadler. And we had a cooperation project with them where we were able to use our StrepTag TNXT twin StrepTag platform for many different applications. So the goal of this project was to produce nanobodies, and Nanotech is a nanobody producing company. And we wanted to have nanobodies for our tags technology. The tags technology is one example of how you can use tags beyond protein purification. And it's a technology that allows you, for example, to purify cells from whole blood. But the problems for existing technologies is that you finally end up with cells where beads or antibodies are still attached after the purification process to the cells. So cells can be activated, they can be altered in their behavior, and therefore in the assays you want to do after that. And in the tags technology, we have FAB fragments that are fused to a twin strap tag. And we have an agarose bead matrix where we immobilize streptactin. So what then happens is, for example, you take blood from a human patient or from mice, it works as well, and you load first the twin streptactin FAB fragment on the column, so you have a kind of FAB decorated matrix. And the FAB fragment is targeted against a specific receptor on the target cell you want to isolate. And then you pour the blood sample, for example, on the column, like you would do it with supernatant and protein purification. And your target cells are bound by the FAB fragments on the matrix, while all other cells are washed away from the column. And then you add biotin, and the biotin will release a trans-streptag, streptactin binding, and therefore releases and eludes the target cells. However, the trick is that the FAB fragment itself has a very low binding affinity to the receptor. So you only have a stable binding on the matrix where you have an avidity effect, because we have many FAB fragments that bind to the receptor on the cell surface. But in the moment where you elute the cells and the FAB fragments are not longer immobilized on the column, they will dissociate from the cells quickly, leaving you a naked, untouched cell. And then you don't have any antibodies or magnetic beads present on the cell. However, nanobodies have some advantages regarding producibility, stability. So we wanted to see if we can produce nanobodies for this purpose instead of FAB fragments. And for doing this, we first classically produced the antigens, or receptors we want to use for immunization. And we cleaved off the tag and used the purified, streptococcus-purified antigens to immunize the alpacas. On the other side, a portion of the expressed protein was not digested with protease, so we still had a portion of protein that was still twin-streptagged. And after the immunization, Nanotech uses the twin streptag antigen to isolate the B cells, antigen specifically. So they used again the TAGS agarose matrix and loaded the twin striped antigen on the agarose matrix. And then they poured the whole alpaca blood on the column, and the B cells presenting antibodies or nanobodies specific to the antigen was captured on the column. And then finally, they were able to elute with biotin the antigen specific B cells, and they were able to extract the DNA, clone them, and screened the expressed proteins in an ELISA plate, where again the twin streptect antigens were immobilized, for example, on a XT plate. And this is a good example of what you can do with TAGS, because the standard procedure is to do a phage display, which takes a few weeks. And they completely skipped this phage display by using this antigen-specific B cell isolation. And here, the whole procedure was very comparable to protein purification, but instead of proteins, you purify cells. And then after we get the nanobodies with the twin streptect, we were able to screen these nanobodies by mixing them with streptactin, which was conjugated to fluorescence dyes, and then mix this mixture with the cells. And the FAB, the nanobody with the streptactin bound to our target cells, so we fluorescent labeled these cells and were able to analyze them in the FACS in order to see if the nanobodies, which candidates bind very well, which doesn't bind. And in addition, we were able to immobilize the nanobodies with a twin streptect on a BLI, on the Blitz instrument, by using the XT BLI sensors we have developed, and analyze the kinetics of the nanobodies to the antigen. And of course, finally, we ended up with nanobodies that make a good job. And these nanobodies can now be used in the TAGS technology, for example, to purify cells from whole blood. So this project shows how you can use TAGS for protein purification, for cell purification, but also in diagnostics like kinetic studies, FACS sorting, and everything was done with one TAG platform, which makes the whole process very simple without biotinylation. And that's what I like about TAGS. It's, you have insight in so many different fields and contact to so many researchers that for scientists, that's a great job.
Like a cross-disciplinary tool.
Yes.
And my understanding is that there are many TAGS available. So how do you decide which TAG to use? I guess it probably depends on what your end goal and the purpose is.
That's a very good question. I think there are many things you have to keep in mind. First, you must think about what's your bottleneck in your lab. Is it budget? Is it time? For example, because there are TAG systems that are cheaper and other resin matrix are more expensive, but maybe don't give some good quality. And you also have to think about what kind of protein you want to purify. For example, if you use a HisTag system, you cannot purify very well metalloproteins. You must think about what is maybe the expected yield, and do you express secreted proteins or membrane proteins, for example? So how much host cell protein do you expect to be in your sample, which can contaminate the sample and which you have to be removed? You have to think about how easy is the system to use, how much time you want to need for optimization of the system. So, for example, let's say if you have a protein where you know you have a very high yield, it's maybe a secreted protein, so you don't have so much host proteins in the sample compared to a lysed sample, then the HisTag technology might be a good way to purify the protein, because if you have a high yield, you don't have a high competition by host cell proteins, and you can use a cheap matrix to purify the protein. On the other side, if you have a very low yield, or you, for example, purify membrane proteins, or you expect a high load of host cell proteins, the HisTag system, in the example, might end up with a purity that is too low for your further applications. In this situation, the StrapTech technology, which is a little bit more expensive than the HisTag technology, but gives you higher purity, is beneficial, because then you achieve the purity that you want to have without the need of repurifying your protein, for example. Or if you have metalloproteins, then you can use a StrapTech system, but the HisTag system is not very well suited. And of course, then we are by the bottlenecks. If, for example, budget is a bottleneck, of course, you might test the Histech system first because it's cheaper. But if you're saying to pharmaceutical companies where high throughput is important and you don't want to do a second purification, you want to do a one-way purification and then go on into your assays, I think the StrapDex system is beneficial because it is more robust and decreases the risk that you have to do another run of purification or that purity is insufficient for your next step. And of course, an important question is what purity is good enough. For some application, it might be sufficient to have 70% purity. But if you want to have a very high pure protein for crystallography experiments, for example, then you maybe, again, don't want to take the risk to get a cheaper resin, but ending up with a purity that is insufficient. Then you have to think about what problems can be faced during the project. If you know that the protein is not very well soluble or cannot be expressed very well, you can think about adding a maltose binding protein to overcome this limitation. But if you expect that the protein can be expressed very well, you don't want to use the maltose binding protein because it's a large protein. You have to remove it afterwards. So you really have to think what you want to do with a product, with a protein. Do you want to use a tag for detection as well? So if you, for example, want to immobilize a protein on an SPR application, then the StrapTag system with its affinity in a picomolar range is very well suited for this. If you don't need a tag for detection and you only want to purify your protein, of course, you have much more choices between tags. And I think that are just some of the thoughts that you should think about when deciding which tag system you use. At the very end, I think it's a toolbox. You don't will solve any problem with one tag system. You can work on different projects with the same tag technology as you can build up a house maybe with only a hammer, but there are many works to do where maybe another tool works better and quicker. And therefore, I think you need a toolbox of tags where you choose a tag which does the best job for your specific project.
That makes sense. So thinking about, you know, the benefits and also the costs and the risks of tags, when, in your opinion, are they worth it and when are they not?
I think tags are definitely worth the benefits. I would say in academia or as long as you're in a research field where you don't want to produce a therapeutic drug, in the majority of cases, you can use tags and they are beneficial because they simplify your purification process. As I've mentioned at the beginning of this podcast from the guy who struggled purifying his protein, he didn't use the tag. And if he used the tag, he would speed up his program. And like the Histag or the StrapTag or the Flag tags, these tags are very small. So in the majority of cases, you don't have to cleave them off and they don't alter the property of your protein. So you can use this tag to simplify purification. You use the same matrices for different proteins, which makes everything easier and, of course, also more affordable than developing an individual purification method for every protein again, again, and again. So the risk of tags, of course, is when it comes to production of drugs that you have to show that the tag does not induce immune responses, that it does not lead to aggregation of your protein. And I think that's the reason why we do not really found tagged drugs on the market, because there are some risks you have to address during the development, and usually you don't want to do it. Or all the tag matrices are affinity matrices. And if you think about reproducing kilograms or large grams amount of protein, then maybe cheap resins like ion exchange chromatography is much more affordable. And if you have to produce so much protein, of course, then it makes sense to establish an individual purification procedure, saving costs, and then this is worth a try. But I think when it comes to high throughput, to early research, or wherever tags do not really are an issue from authorities, then I think you should start working with a tag because it simplifies and speed up your research. And I think it would be interesting to see if tags can make it one day into GMP processes. I think there's one process with a his tag that is approved by the FDA. And I guess all tags are immunogenic because you get antibodies against them. So there must be a kind of immune response. But when we think to cancer patients who nearly don't have any immune system during the treatment anymore, maybe here a tag and a possible immunogenicity will not really be a problem, but can make it easier to purify some targets that cannot be purified without tags. There are also protein that we don't get enough purity without an affinity purification step, but you don't have protein A or something like that available for such proteins. And maybe here the use of tags could be a benefit. And if we sing to conferences where we talk about can transient material can make it one day into clinic, maybe we can also think about, are there some applications or treatments where even tag proteins can make it one day into clinic? That would be a fascinating question. And I would be happy to see one day tags in clinic, and so that we can not only contribute to early research, but also maybe to treatment of patients.
That's something that's fascinating to think about. And one day, so I hope to talk with you again in the future about this, and maybe we'll be talking about seeing tags make their way into the clinic. Thank you so much for being on the chain, Dennis. Best of luck in your PhD research. It's fascinating and great to hear what a system that's set up for you. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you very much. And I wish you a good day. And hope one day we all can see us at live conferences again.
Yes, me too.
For more on the future of biotherapeutic drug development, check out PEGS Boston Summit. For more than 15 years, PEGS Boston has been the premier networking and professional development event for biotherapeutics drug development, research, and collaboration. This year, PEGS Boston Summit takes place virtually May 11th through 13th. To browse the 2021 agendas and to register, please visit pegsummit.com. Use code POD100 at checkout and save $100 off your event registration. Thank you for joining us on The Chain. Tune in next episode for more conversations about science, research, and exploring the world of protein engineering.